Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As we are back, we are live. Welcome to Heroes of the Horn, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra. And friends, we are here talking about the Wheel of Time, Season 1, Episodes 1 through 3. Just sort of a general discussion. We've had some time to sit back and watch it again and go through, look at some of the other features inside of Amazon. Just a lot to process, man. Lot going through our minds right now.
Yeah, man. We watched it last night. It dropped early. I've watched it twice now, all three episodes. Just the initial watch last night was just sheer excitement. It was just chaos. It was Lords of Chaos. Whoa. Right? Amazon's just sitting there and they're just like, you know what? Let's just drop it. And it's like, wow, they're like the Lords of Chaos. And then it's like the internet was basically the fires of heaven because it's just burning up. Okay.
Yep.
But beforehand, we were curious. We were like, is it going to drop? I don't know. Mm-hmm. My God, the shadow that was rising.
Was rising.
It was darkness. Yep. Okay. Yep. It was there. But you know what? We made it. Okay.
And now, Matt, we're on a great hunt
for
the Easter eggs, the hidden gems in these first three episodes. Just still a lot. I mean, like we did our initial kind of like, you know, 20-30 minute just discussion on the episodes and talked about them individually. But I am impressed. I am still thoroughly impressed with what they've done and the emotion that I feel. The marketing went up. Things went crazy. It just kind of took off. And I think right now, I mean, again, it's Friday as we're recording this. Folks are sitting down tonight with their pizza.
Watching it.
With their popcorn.
Right.
For me, it's Milk Duds, some coffee, maybe a cherry Coke. Right. And
pizza. It was pizza for me last night. I made DiGiorno. I figured it was the closest thing. Was it a false pizza? It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like the false dragon of food. So dude, that's kind of where I was at.
I almost went to Taco Bell and said, can I have the Tuatha on number 7?
Yeah, okay, I'm still a little confused by that one. I mean, they were eating quesadillas. I mean, they just they're travelers. That's what they do. They just travel, and they're like, you know, give me that number 7, right? Which is, I think that's it, right? Isn't the number 7? Isn't the number 7 Taco Bell? Number 7. It's a quesadilla and a taco, and I think you get a large drink, which I usually go with Mountain Dew.
Oh my God! They don't have the numbers up here.
Wow.
Taco, is it different at every place? Menu numbers. Come on now. Oh wait. Oh, here we got images. Man. The number 7 is that. You're right, man. That is.
I haven't been to Taco Bell in years. But that was my go-to.
That's the quesadilla.
Thanks, that's what they were having.
The Tuatha on quesadilla. The Tuatha one, man. Quesadilla. Oh, my God.
Right. So, yeah, it was good. As I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've watched it twice. I appreciate it more. Watching it last night when it dropped, you know, there were some streaming issues. Like, it was kind of stuttering there for me for a bit because I think it just came out and literally everyone's like refreshing the page trying to get it to start. So I was able to watch it this morning on a better screen and everything. It was 4K. It was freaking great, right? Watched on my MacBook, which is probably the best screen I have in my house. Mm-hmm. And it looked great, crisp. Everything looks good. Each episode, I feel like, just gets better and better. Listening to some of the music again, listening to some of the scoring. Loved it.
Yeah, it's great. I'm doing, actually, I have another window open here. I'm just kind of clicking through. My gosh. Episode one.
It's crazy.
It might actually. So episode three is amazing, but episode one, it just floors me because, like, there's so many little things. Rand and Egwene. I was talking to some of our listeners. I've been in, by the way, you can follow us over. Follow me at Womprat_2M. Hit me up with your thoughts. Follow Matt at Super Gains Bros. Hit us up. If you're listening on the podcast, come find us and tell us what you thought about this stuff, or send us a pigeon at thehornofvalir@gmail.com. Because we want to know what you're thinking, because what I was hearing from folks is they were impressed. And again, this is not everyone. This is a small sampling, but with the Egwene Rand emotional kind of like the intimacy, right? It's like, it's, I don't know, you know how they hire intimacy coordinators for shows? I don't think those two needed
it. I don't know if they needed it.
I think I was real. Like, I think that really there's a connection. Rumors started here they're dating. No, just kidding. But well, they were dating in Emmons Field, pledged to one another, so that was really cool. And then little things like this, right? Lan's getting into the hot tub, the not right. so hot tub.
He right? needed it warmer.
That was cool, Moraine. You're using your power for something that trivial. You know what I mean? He's like, it could be warmer. It could be. And he's just staring down Moraine, and she's just looking at him, kind of like not really smiling, but like, okay, let me do this for my warder. Like, I'll take care of him and magic this water a little bit.
Well, it's a good thing she did, because she needed him later.
She sure did. Absolutely. You know, that was we did our change video. Like, we did a five biggest changes or whatever. But buddy, one that I just thought of after we did that was Moraine. Like, the big change in her arc, she is out for the count for like two.
Yeah, episodes. I will say, rewatching the fight scene this for the second time, man, it's really cool just how you get it. How, like, because the focus is such on Moraine, right? Where she's like, you know, weaving and there's lightning and rocks flying everywhere. You actually sort of miss out, but if you rewatch it, don't necessarily pay attention to her, but pay attention to Lan. And you see Lan, like, people, like, Trollocs keep coming at him, and he's just like bouncing around, knocking guys down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He is. That's where that, because yeah, you're trying to figure out, what is she doing with the power? She's weaving it all. She's pulling it all in. They almost have to give up because she doesn't know if she can pull in enough power. That was good. You got to show the limitations of the Aes Sedai. I had to show that she was limited in some way. We're going to have to get some Angreal, some Sangreal, and so on to amplify our Aes Sedai when they need to. And yeah, Matt, I don't know if you heard this. This was one of our comments from, I think it was episode one. Now, I think it's totally not true, but it's not the first time I've seen it. I've seen a couple comments about this. So some people are asking about Perrin's wife. They're wondering, what was the awkwardness? What was the tension between? Why doesn't she go to Egwene's? Why doesn't she go with the women's circle? Why isn't she there for the ceremony? Oh. Yeah.
I think she's an outsider, obviously. To me, I feel okay. Like she's definitely an outsider of Emmons Field.
Okay. And I like that. That's why. Okay. I like that, because some people were going, the comment that I saw, and I saw one other comment about this, was that she's a dark friend. I was like, guys.
Now that I don't know.
Come on. You know, like did somebody was like, did you notice that she's a dark friend? I was like, now we're starting to see dark friends everywhere, which I like. Okay. Be on the lookout. But that's Perrin's wife. She can't be a dark friend. There ain't no way.
Now, my question was, and I've seen it twice. Was she pregnant?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that they said that, did they? They didn't say anything about that, but I think that we saw, like, the way he kind of came up and hugged her made it seem like it, like she was.
Yeah, I think so. There's a really nice shot here. I'm trying to find it real quick where they're in bed. She's in her gown. Yeah, she looks, you're right. You can see the outsider bit, all the scars that she has on her arm from the forge, probably, right? I'm guessing. But what an interesting character. We just kind of blew past that so fast. It happens so quickly. And again, I've mispronounced her name, Layla, right? Is that
right?
Layla. So, yeah, I mean, thought she was cool. That was interesting.
Yeah, I did too. Put on Fane, man, and Matt seem to know each other. See, Put on Fane's been there quite a bit.
Right. That was one like line where you got the idea that he's been here every year. He comes every year. They've gotten to know each other. They've got a relationship of some kind. And that's cool, because in the book, it's more about him getting that dagger back from Matt. But this seems to be more. They wheel and deal a little bit. Whereas in the book, there was a larger crowd around Put on Fane. And really, they just were standing at the back of the crowd listening to the news that he was telling about Geladon and the false dragon Loghain.
Gael-don,
excuse me.
As they say it in the show. Yeah, Gael-don. So that was definitely kind of interesting that they have certainly seeming more of a relationship. Now, I guess my question to you is it Put on Fane who has spread the rumor that there are four Ta'veren there?
Well, yeah, what it almost feels like more is known. I'm even trying to think back in the book, like Loial just can see the signs around them and see and understand that they are Ta'veren. Things are happening around them that are unexplainable.
And correct me if I'm mistaken, but where we're at in the podcast, mm-hmm. on the podcast we do, for anybody that's new, we're going through the books. It's my first time through the books. We just finished book 5. They said the four Ta'veren. Correct me if I'm mistaken. We in the books, it's only three. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever said that Egwene is Ta'veren in the books, at least to where we're at now.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. Actually,
now, is that something that will change in the books, or is it accurate, or is it a showism?
That's so crazy. I can't, like, if I answer it, it's just like, you know, whatever. I don't want to say. I mean, yeah, I think it's not,
I think to me, where I'm at in the books, obviously, Egwene,
it's a showism,
really important
for you, right? Because in the books, you're saying, I haven't seen it. It would be there through book 5, so we're gonna call it.
No, I've never seen anyone call her that. To me, if you told me that Egwene and Nynaeve are Ta'veren, it doesn't really change my perception of them at all, because they're incredibly important. Like it's pretty obvious that they're all important. So I guess I'm okay if you spoil it for me if she is, because it doesn't really do anything different. So I'm wondering if that is a showism or not.
See, and that's it is a showism. She's not Ta'veren.
Okay.
There are other Ta'veren though, and there are rumors.
rumor of four. Uh-huh. Right, and so I guess my question of the rumor of four was is that in the books? And I don't think it is.
Yeah, there is someone. I don't know if
there's somebody else. There's somebody else who might be rumored to be one.
Yeah, there are some people who speculate about a couple of different ones. And if you guys want to leave comments about who those individuals are, but there were some in history, right? They often compare Rand, Matt, and Perrin to like Ardor Hawkwing and some other individuals who were Ta'veren, and that these individuals, that Rand is much stronger. So originally, was there going to be a fourth? There might have been. I don't know. And that, you know, what I didn't get a chance to watch was the making of and some of the behind the scenes stuff here for Robert Jordan. So we can look into that. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
If that was in the draft, that would be awesome.
See, now it's interesting because Moraine talks about how the four of you are important, but then the Dark Friend in episode 3 says it's the five of you.
Right. Yeah, right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Which would include Nynaeve.
Right. So it's also like, when is the, like, so you see how you can be, things can be communicated through dreams. People can appear and show up and speak to you. So that dark friend could be getting live updates about stuff, right? I mean, she knows them. She knows who they are, and she shouldn't. She's never seen them before, but yet she has seen them somewhere else. So,
yeah, which is interesting. And we don't, and she was a kid, the dark friend we see in episode three. Her story is definitely incredibly interesting because she talks about how she's never left that town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people just sort of come and go. So I guess at what point would somebody come through that would offer you a path to the darkness that you would decide to choose it and then still stay in that town?
Well, that's the thing. Once you've pledged and you're instructed to do, how does Ez know?
I know
dark friends do, you know what I mean? No, I'm not a dark friend, but yeah, they have to, they find out that those oaths that they make, that they take, are a bit more binding than they bargained for. And they pledged.
I did like when she died and you see the darkness in her blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So anyway, the Tavirin piece is interesting. It wouldn't matter, right? I mean, even if there were, because there's some times where things happen. I know in the books it's much more like when Rand goes into a city or when some of them, things happen, chaos happens, or people get, everyone in the town who's engaged or dating all of a sudden gets married, or a lot of deaths happen, or freak accidents happen, things that just happens around them, you know, is... I don't know. I don't think we need as much of that, actually.
Right.
Really. I hate to say that, but when I think about the show, I mean, it's cool in the book, but how much of that can they attribute to, I don't know, how much of that are they going to do and play up in the TV series? They're Tavirin, meaning they're special, and there's a purpose. They have a greater destiny, I think, is about as far as you really need to go with it.
Question here. What if the show wants to go against the first book and make Loghain the fifth instead of Nynaeve? Could.
Yeah, go on, Ryan.
Loghain is clearly going to be a big part of the story from everything we've seen in the trailers. And I would say even next episode, I think next episode is where he breaks out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Who is, so it's just implied. This is a good point that DK Moon brought up. Like, we say facts. I mean, some of these things are, there's just rumor. There's rumor of these Tavirin. There's rumor, or it's said by a dark friend. Can you trust what's said by a dark friend? You know, that kind of stuff. This is cool. So, we're thinking it's Nynaeve. It wasn't said that it would be, right? We just watched him. So if we're missing something here, you guys leave us a comment. Let us know. But I mean, yeah, it Loghain is clearly important. We think of the Emmonsfield Five. And we go right there and we say, yeah, it's got to be, that's what they're talking about. But again, move some pieces around, show us Loghain, see what's going on. As you, later on in the story, big freaking deal, big connections between him and Nynaeve and stuff. I mean, really interesting stuff happens later on. So,
yeah. So I guess we can talk about some of the dynamics. What do we think? Just opening scene.
Yeah.
Opening scene, gentling. You know, gentling that male channeler.
Well, the best thing that they did there was to show him running with a companion side by side. And then for, I think that's Leandrin, says, yeah. Who are you talking to? There's no one there. And that is cool because you know this. Who is Rand talking to half the time? Rand's talking to someone up here in the books. No idea. So this person was also talking to someone else and had gone crazy. So Rand's starting to think like, well, that's some of the characteristics that the Red Aja and other Aes Sedai see in men who channel, you know, the craziness or whatever, the madness can come in different forms maybe, but so some, it's like they're talking to someone else or they see people who aren't there, or maybe they just go to mad rantings. I don't know, stop talking, get withdrawn. Go mad or crazy that way. I thought it was cool that they showed it. Again, I don't like the idea of gentling all these men. I think we've got to
Agreed.
yeah, but yeah, it was cool for I think viewers to come out there and say, okay, I see something. I understand now that this man was crazy, and most men who channel are crazy, and they could break the world. One of the best things, if you get a chance to go see the X-ray version of is it X-ray? Yeah, the X-ray bonus.
Yeah, Amazon. Amazon has this thing where it's X-ray when you're watching, and it'll take you to stuff. And there's bonus content which shows a few histories, and there's like behind the scenes stuff as well.
Yeah, which is really cool. The first one is great. They do a really good job, and it's necessary there to go back and say who was the dragon. And that's cool. Like we're flat out looking for the dragon. One of them is the dragon. The dragon is going to be there at the last battle, and we need this person. They do a better job, not a better job, but they expand on it more in that little animation where they talk. It's I don't know who it is.
3 minutes.
Yeah. So one of the Aes Sedai, though, they're talking around a table about what they know from the Age of Legends and the boar into the Dark One's prison, sealing him away. By the way, if you look at the artwork on that, it looks just like who we're seeing in our dreams. So
Yeah. Who I do believe we will see at some point. What about, trying to think, the biggest sort of surprises, anything, is there anything that sort of surprised you? Like you didn't think we'd see that we saw a little bit earlier, maybe than you thought.
Well, what I was going to go to, what I thought was cool, it's not really a surprise. I was very happy to see the inner workings of the women's circle a little bit, and to see how they operate a little bit, and to understand more about the wind and the wisdom, and getting more details on that, because that's kind of important. What we actually get to see in the books. So you think about this. This is an adaptation. We get Rand's perspective. We get to sit in on the village council. We don't necessarily get to go over to the women's circle and hear from them as much, right? And so in the show, they said, you guys get to see, after Pot on Fane says what he says, they bring Pot on Fane in to the village council. They discuss. The women's circle goes and does their thing. We got to see the other side of that and see kind of what happens there with the women's circle, which we never would have saw before. So that's where if people are upset about that kind of change, that's the kind of stuff right there that is, we already know what the village council discusses and how they interact in the books. So now you're showing me the women's circle and their traditions, the braiding of the hair. I understand that more. And I understand like how much they value the river and let the river take you and guide you. They're two rivers folk, right? Remember that? They're two rivers folk. So that was cool. That, and it's not really a surprise, but I was just happy to see more of that and learn something about the wisdom. So
yeah, I guess I would say, man, the way they're already handling Balzamon in the dreams is like crazy awesome. And the Dark One, like the Dark One feels more menacing in the show in three episodes than he does by the end of book five.
Yeah. Right. Because we really get to see him. We get to see him invading their dreams. Then we see the after effect of bats and scorched kind of ground and all of that. So, yeah, seems more menacing. We don't really know much. I mean, I think we're going to keep seeing him more and more, and we're going to learn more about it. We're going to have to, Moraine needs to learn once she wakes back up. See, the big thing is Moraine has been knocked out of it, and she... Right. She's the one who will see those warnings and those signs and say, that's bad. That's really bad. And here's what it means. And so that's going to come out more so, I think, in the White Tower as we, you know, next couple episodes.
Dreams are more powerful than you know.
Right. The dream world is huge. How often? I mean, like, my God, I mean, we are in Teleron Riad all the time in the books. We're always communicating, stepping in and out of there. We have great battles there. It's freaking nuts. So good to introduce it early, I say.
Yeah, let me see here. Kind of skipping ahead a little bit. How do you feel they are going to explain Perrin's gifts with to him without the Elias character they seem to have removed? Also, how is Moraine going to track them without the coins? See, the second question, I think that they said we're all going to Tar Valon, and the fact that we know we're not going to get Caemlyn in the show, I think they're all just going to end up meeting back in Tar Valon, kind of at the same time. I think it's just the easy way to do that. And how are they going to explain Perrin's gifts? I think that Elias is just going to, his sort of role is going to get moved to somebody else, or maybe an Elias character comes in season two and it gets explained further there. I don't know that we have to explain all the wolf stuff this season. I mean, in the books, it's like book four before you really get some answers about the Perrin and the wolf, the wolves. So it's probably going to be pushed back a bit.
Yeah, exactly. They don't necessarily need to do it right now. And you could just show a bunch of stuff going on with wolves and see that they're okay. Well, they guided Perrin, like lay a bunch of breadcrumbs here in the beginning that are going to pay off for show watchers in season two. Right. And that would be cool to see that. Yeah. Someone's going to show up, and because we need to learn more about warders, more about Tavirin. There's still a lot of things we need to learn, and it's actually kind of abrupt in the books, right? He just shows up and this man literally says to him, oh, you can talk to them. It's really, right. It's one of the things I said in the book club is that Robert Jordan just trusts the reader. Go with it. Just go with it. He just throws it at you and says, yep, this is a new thing. We're rolling with it. Whereas they're wanting to try to get people to speculate and see the connections and lay a better kind of like a ramp that runs into that conversation with an Elias-like figure. And they're doing it right now, which is good.
Yeah, David says, I was honestly expecting that the dreams would be something that would get cut from the show adaptation. I don't know that we're going to do as much in the dream world. I mean, it's not for a while that we do it anyway, so we'll have to see. I think that you can actually use the dreams to sort of explain a lot of stuff, especially with like Luce Theron, just like some of that, like the entire prologue chapter, I feel like it could just be a dream that Rand has. And I think you can actually use it to speed along a lot of stuff that mm-hmm. happens with some of these characters, especially like a lot of the dreams I think you could really shift to one dream in a season, essentially. So we'll have to see. But I don't know that we'll do all the dream world stuff as much.
Yeah, not really sure what they're going to do with that. I mean, yeah, because it was a great way to kind of communicate across long distances and fill in. I mean, definitely not in it comes later, but that's a really interesting question. How are they going to do all the Teleron Riad stuff? The meetings, they meet there all the time in the books, and that's how it seems like the show could do that, because just like in Game of Thrones, you've got people in Westeros and over in Essos. Well, if we want those characters, if those characters do talk in the books, how are they going to do that? You know, maybe just not as much. It'll still be there, but maybe not as much. I see. Yeah.
Is there anything that you saw that you thought would get cut but wasn't?
No, I'm just kind of clicking through first episode here. Because I think they made a lot of change. Like, they're still slightly different changes. It was almost more like I was surprised by how and then how they rearranged it and how they still told the story. One thing that was cut that was interesting was the fever dream by Tam mumbling.
Yes.
Right. So that was something that was cut that I wish, or that I think, like, oh, okay, Rand dwells on that for a long time. And he thinks about, oh, my father knew something, right? And I guarantee they filmed it. And they just, on the cutting board, said, we don't have room or time for it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things.
Yeah, they did sort of explain it. At least already put in our minds, there's something weird about Rand, which is honestly, like, could be the title of the first like two books. Is there something weird with Rand?
Right.
Because when we see the Aiel and the Aiel has that color hair, and Tom Marilyn says to Matt, oh, that's like that hair color you don't typically see this way. You don't see outside of the borderlands. And it zooms in on it, and it's the exact same hair color as Rand, that red.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's there. Yeah. one thing. So we got to see this sort of Beltane. Well, it's sort of Beltane, but it's their, they get the lamps and they put all the lamps in the river, and Rand and his father hang a lamp for their, for Rand's mom, for Tam's wife, Cary Al-Thor. And that was cool to see that, and to see them remembering and thinking back to ages, time. This is a wheel of time. And so understanding that history and lore matter, and that there was a reference to about being born again and souls coming and going and coming back. And someone said, I don't know if it was Rand who might have asked the question, like, how long until we are born back again into the world? You know, would you even remember your previous life? Is it thousands of years ago, or is it 3,000 years ago? Like, how long? So yeah, stuff like that was interesting.
Here's a question from Kevin. He says, in episode one, was Perrin's wife trying to kill him? She had her weapon above her head when he turned around, not a book reader. Yeah. You know, at first I was like, wait, what was she doing? I think she was just, it's hard to tell because Perrin is like just really wailing on that, that Trolloc. And it's almost like she comes around the corner, but then he sort of turns because he's just like, he's in the zone. I mean, and so I almost feel like she was just coming around the corner because she couldn't see.
I'm watching it right now. So it's weird too. Like, if she is a dark friend, she would be, so that's what people are getting at, which is, why is she acting so strange? When Perrin comes in, she lays her head back against him. He's holding her stomach. And she seems like, Matt said, she's just, to him, it felt like she was just an outsider. Like, she wasn't someone who had been welcomed yet, maybe into the women's circle, or didn't go out there for that reason. There was a bitterness. There was something going on. She was out foraging. And yeah, I think she was just coming to like knock a Trolloc out, and help her husband.
Right.
But that's what I really thought. I didn't think it was anything more than that, but I think it's because there's a strangeness. When you watch it, she is mad. She is out there intense. Something's wrong. When you first show up there, you can see it in her face. Her jaw's kind of quivering, and she's upset.
Maybe she's trying to make money. She's out there working, and Perrin's out there drinking.
Maybe, man.
She's in the forge, working hard, and I think she's pregnant. I don't remember that totally. Does he specifically say it?
I was going
to
listen here.
It just looked to me like the way he kind of grabbed her was almost like, you know, the way you're going to grab,
right?
Like that behind the hug, you know, thing. Right. And so if that's the case, then it's like, hey, I'm in here working for our family and you're out there.
Right.
You know,
and where he's
playing dice.
Right. The way he kills her too, accidentally.
Right there too.
Implies that. More. Yeah. A child couldn't be saved, you know? So right. Gosh, man. And they did a good job too of showing us that Moraine gets tired using the power, and that
lot of it. I mean, it's not like she just uses one thing. I mean, she uses a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
She acts a bit weird. Wolves attack her body in a dream too. Several hints. She may be a dark friend.
Wow. That's what people are saying, man.
You know, we should go back and look at the blood, because remember when you see the blood of the dark friend in episode 3, there's like blackness in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to tell because it's so dark there.
Right, right. It's so dark, yeah. God, she does have a hammer though. She is using the hammer hardcore.
Right. See, I don't know. See, I guess
and
I
he
guess
has like an axe.
I guess if it turns out that she's a dark friend, then it sort of like can take Perrin off the hook a bit, right? And like, she was a dark friend, and maybe she was the one that told the Trollocs and all that stuff. But then that kind of goes against the idea that they would just know that that they're important and they need to chase them down anyway. Okay. But I don't know that you need any of that for Perrin, because I could just like, dude, it's a total accident.
I just watched it again. For anybody who wants to pull it up silently and just do a click through, go look at her, buddy. She's bringing that thing down. It looks like, because his back is turned, the Trolloc is in front of him, and he's he's already killed it. He's hit it probably 6 or 7 times in the face with his axe. And as he turns around, there's no one there. And she has it raised above her head, coming down,
pull it up here.
Coming down on him. Now that's interesting. So, okay, full on prediction. I can't believe this. So I take back what I said. Let's go tinfoil here. Matt, she became a dark friend. Hold on here. She became a dark friend. She pledged to get close to this man and to kill him, but she fell in love with him and she's having his child. And now the only way she can save her child is to follow through. Like it's either I'm going to kill your child or I'm going to or you're going to kill your husband. You know what
All
I mean?
Right, I'm watching the scene right here. Hold on. Give me 1 second.
Take your time. I'm going to keep talking. You go do your thing here. Friends, leave me a comment here on this. And if you have a chance to go check this out, it's episode 1. Go look at this again. She's using the hammer. He's using the hammer.
Yeah. She does. And she is almost like she's standing there. It's still hard to tell a bit because
she's the way she's got that is well above her head. Like she's coming right down on top of him. And again, not that he wanted to kill her. He didn't even know she was doing that or what her positioning was. She might have just been coming in for a kill blow over top of his shoulder on top of the trolloc. But
right.
She acts a bit weird. Yeah, wolves attack her body in dream too. Several hints. They do. Let me go
back. She is, man.
Yeah, and here's what I'm thinking. The child thing, and again, full tinfoil theory there. Inktar, Matt, agrees in the book to be a dark friend because he saw no other way or something. Yeah. Here's a good comment. Yeah. Could be to Viren saving Perrin. Could be that he randomly swings.
It's hard to tell, man. It's really hard to tell. I just watched the scene again. It's really hard to get anything out of it other than she's standing there. But again, if she's coming around, the corner, it's hard to, you know, you might have it raised.
Well, and again, if you're show creators, you don't want it to be obvious. You definitely wouldn't want something like that to be obvious. You'd want to bury it and hide it. Now, I'm going to go back here because I think they're right. I'm looking at that dream sequence. I thought something was wrong. And all of her stares look very distant. She looks like she's deep in thought and troubled by something.
Right. But what if, you know, because in episode 2, Perrin, the wolves come to Perrin and they lick him. Mm-hmm. Right. And then they walk, then they walk by. So what if right now he's viewing the wolves as a sort of aggressive part of his nature? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like right now he doesn't know what's going on with the wolves, but that could be part of it.
Right. It could be.
Maybe he's viewing himself as a wolf and he's, you know.
Right. This is fascinating. I guess at first I saw the wolves and I just thought she was strange and something was going on. But now that I saw her bringing that hammer down on him, there's more than one piece of evidence. Before I thought it was just one thing and you could kind of dismiss it. But now I'm thinking there's more going on here. And it's the dream I want to see. So here it is. Wow, Matt. When wolves attack you, it's normally not a good thing because the wolves ally themselves with Perrin, so they're his protectors. He's
right.
He's a freaking wolf king, man.
When I first saw it, I thought that it was her doing the same thing as Perrin, turning to attack. But I could definitely be convinced with what you're saying about, especially with the wolves. Yeah, I could be too. I think I need a little more information to go off of. See, because then I guess my question is, does it ruin that if she's a dark friend?
What?
Because the moment is impactful because Perrin accidentally kills his wife while he was aggressively. I mean, you know, he was the Trolloc's dad, but he's still going to town. It's like very aggressive, right? Type of a thing. And so in his sort of rage, not just fighting to defend himself, he's now in like rage. He turns and strikes his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that goes more in line with his decision of, you know, the hammer versus the axe, right? The way of the leaf and this pacifist different, you know, lifestyle, and that tension he has more so. If it turns out she's a dark friend, then it justifies his actions, even though it was still in a moment of rage.
Yeah. I think too, though, it could be, this is going to sound strange to say, a good sort of dark friend, in that like she made this pledge beforehand and she's a dark friend that just loves her husband, but then finds out she has to kill her husband. You know what I mean? Like made the pledge long ago, put it right off, struggled with it. By the way, if anyone can find a timestamp for that, that wolf dream, I would love to see it right now. I have
in episode,
up here,
in episode three. In episode three, it's probably early, to the first third of the episode, because they're running and then they make the fire, and then Perrin falls asleep, and then so it's well before they meet the Tuathawan.
Okay,
because it's when they make that fire. So that's got to be early to mid episode three, because they escape Shadar Logoth in episode two.
Okay. I'll go see if I can track it down. I dismissed it.
Right. Let me see here. It could be setting up an emo parent and taking the place of killing the White Cloaks after they kill Hopper. Yep. Again, that's what I ultimately think this is all for. It is that. And I think him killing his wife is a way for them to sort of cut past like a lot of his family dying in the Shadow Rising before he has his stare down when he tells the White Cloaks off.
Yeah, I guess. Well, here it is. Here's the dream sequence. I'm watching it right now. My question for friends as I watch this is, right, are there any other content creators talking about this and whether or not, what are they saying about this?
Yeah, I think the show could have made it a little clearer to the watcher. The raised hammer is quick, easy to miss. Yeah, that's where I'm at. That's where I was at, because, and I've watched it twice, just because it's immediate turnaround. You barely see her. So it's almost like he turns around and hits her, and then you realize, wait, she had her hammer raised, not the other way around. Like so it's interesting. It's good. It's cool. And this is what we want. We want it to be stuff that we have to talk about and think about. And
here's the other thing too. This is a dream. The dream I'm watching right now is the dark one is presenting this, right? I mean, so it could also be something that's distorted a little bit, right? Even though what we know in the books is sometimes what the conversations they had with Baal-Zamon were real. Yeah, there's a freaking wolf eating her.
Yes. Right where he cut her too.
Right. Holy smokes. I don't know, man. The more I look at that, I'm thinking, now that could just be the dark one messing with him, but the Dusty Will spoke about it last night. What did they say? Well, I wonder what the Dusty Will said about this, because again, I that's cool. It's not cool. I know Matt says, maybe you could take away from that. I wish there was a way somehow where we could have an Inktar moment where it was like there was no chance. Like she was a dark friend long ago, and then she found Perrin and then wishes she wouldn't have went down that path, but then they got pregnant. She never thought that she'd be called upon to use, because Matt, you can be a dark friend and just do it as a kid for fun, right?
Exactly.
It's something like don't do, you know, and then she does it, but yet, it's my God. Oh my God.
They even have socials.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So this is, they think it has merit, but could also be a talking point thrown to the community. Well, it's definitely working. Dusty Will had vote 60-7% think, I think said dark friend. There you go. That's why we do these things, because that is some stuff right there. That is a whole thing. They didn't go quite that in depth, but still. I'm honestly kind of convinced. I'm kind of convinced now, because you could do something in dreams or with a letter that was left or someone else knew. One of the Forsaken tells Perrin something and they use it against him. Or maybe it's nothing, but yet they're going to try and make him think that she was, you know, I don't know. again, it's still his child, and she could be protecting the child. There's a lot of angles here, a lot of stuff.
There's a lot you can do. There's a lot of things you could do with it.
Wow, went down a through a portal stone right there, my friend. We went through a portal stone, and good God.
Yeah. So question to our viewers here. How many times have you guys watched it?
Yeah, good question. Good question. Yeah, because man, I'm doing a click through now. I watched episode one earlier again, and two, I just did kind of it's episode one and two, or I'm sorry, one and three that I liked the most. So I really got into them and rewatched those. I need to go back and rewatch two. I've been doing a lot of editing and just, you know, taking screenshots so we can do some content here on Heroes of the Horn. But yeah, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. How many times did you watch it?
Watched it three times.
Okay. There we go. Nice. Nice.
Let me see here. They didn't make it so clear. They think they didn't make it clear. So Perrin feels the guilt. Exactly. That's 100% where I'm at. 100% of on where I'm at on that is that it's to make Perrin feel guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got Kevin just once finished literally less than an hour ago.
I'm rewatching it again tonight after we're done with the stream. I'm watching it again because Teresa hasn't watched it yet, and she's like she just texted me. She's like, should I watch it? I'm like, no. I haven't watched it on, we have a projector. I've watched it on my PC monitor, which is like 30 inches, and I watched it on my Mac as I was doing stuff this morning, which is like 13, but it's like it's a nice, you know, retina screen or whatever, but I've yet to watch it on the projector. Because Cowboy Bebop came out this weekend too. Yeah. And so I'm like, oh, I gotta blitz through it. And it's all out on Netflix. I only watched the first episode. So there's a lot of content to watch this week. And as and I are creating a lot of content.
Yeah.
We're doing a Game of Thrones live stream on Sunday. It's crazy. Yeah, crazy times
with Gray Area, who Gray I think Area. Is she not into I think she's mentioned Wheel
we talked to her time. Remember we talked to her about it and we asked her, and she was, I think she said she hadn't checked it out, but
I think will. I've been seeing her on Twitter talk more about like, oh, what is this, I might go watch this, and what do you guys think, so sort of thing. So we'll talk to her about that and see maybe if she's really into it. Be kind of cool to have her thoughts on it. Now
I mean, there's some other people we need to bring on. And quick reminder, tomorrow we are doing another Wheel of Time live stream. And if you're in our patron tier, if you're one of our Heroes of the Horn, you guys get to come on and chat with us, because we want to chat like directly to you guys. So make sure to check that out, because that's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah. So two things. First of all, you're watching with Teresa. I'm going to watch it with Lottie because she wants to see it. When we did the trailer reaction, she was like, oh, this looks awesome. I'm like, yeah, it looks great. And that was just the trailer. And now I've seen it. I'm like, holy smokes. She asked me what I thought. I was like, guys, like, go watch Matt and I talk about this. Our initial reaction, we freaking lost our minds. I mean, the energy we felt was more than just like,
insane.
It was authentic. It was really about the show being like, oh, this is good.
I wish that, and I know that you have some of yours recorded. I wish that I had recorded my reaction, because so much of the hype was because it dropped earlier than we expected. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm like clicking. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, like, let me get it. So let me explain. I'll explain the story, because I think it's worth telling. So, you know, I took today off work. I like scheduled it months ago, because I was like, all right, I'm taking the day off work as scheduled the day off work. And our plan was to watch it at like midnight Pacific, which is typically when Disney releases stuff. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, whatever. Ez is going to get up at 3 a.m. I'll be up at midnight. I'm going to come home, whatever, take a nap. And so I call him on my home, and I was like, all right, dude, what are we going to, like, let's plan this out, get it going. I got to stop at the store real quick. And I was like, but I have seen some people saying this might release earlier. And he's like, I know. That's what I'm seeing too. He's like, so Ez had to look up what 12 a.m. GMT thought. He thought it was Grand Mountain time.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out it's Greenwich Mean Time.
I mean,
knew that, but Ez did, right?
I mean, I was kind of joking, but Grand Mountain time seemed like Dragon Mount to me, buddy. So it's the Grand
Dragon Mountain
time. Like, hey, perfect time, you know?
Rand Mountain time, they should change it.
Right.
I mean, be respectful.
Okay? Mountain time. What the heck's wrong with
that? Whatever.
Loghain, buddy. Hey. Loghain right now is proclaiming himself to be the dragon. So
we don't know that.
Yeah, at the end, he like it was said that he was someone
somebody else said it. He did not specifically.
Well,
but
I'm waiting for him to say it.
But anyway, so we go to the store. I call Az. I'm on the phone with him. I'm like, all right, dude, I gotta grab, like, literally it's just like, you know, rice, milk, like a few things.
Right.
Not rice milk, but rice and milk. Uh-huh. Rice milk itself is gross. Yeah. But anyway, so I get like some popcorn and whatever. And so then I come home and it's like, we, all right, we're going live. We're chatting a little bit. And then it goes live and it's like, oh my God. And we're like freaking out. And so I'm watching it. I'm like super pumped. I think I was also eating a bunch of, like, I got this like popcorn. I got the bag right here.
Let's go.
Like, it's like M&M popcorn. I don't know. It wasn't very good. Not going to lie.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely won't buy again. But I, so I'm like sugar rushed. I had a huge coffee. The caffeine's flowing. The excitement is flowing. When Tam Al Thor is fighting the Trolloc and goes and gets the Heron Mark blade, I stood up in my chair right here. Thankfully, no one else was home. And I was like, let's fucking go. And
yeah.
I lost my mind.
Oh, yeah. That was so good. I just kept saying,
I lost it. I was like, I should have recorded it.
Yeah, half of my reaction was like, someone do something. Someone do something. Like, they're killing people. The Trollocs, what I thought was most impressive about the Trollocs were they just, Matt, could take their finger and just swat, and bam,
right,
you were gone against like a wall or a shed and just broken and stuff. I'm like, jeezy cow. So that was pretty intense. And then I thought for sure someone's going to come save Nynaeve and Egwene. They were on their own. And it really shows you that, like, their lives are at risk here. And everyone, this town, so many people were killed, and they had a whole army coming. They all would have been wiped out and annihilated if they would not have hit the road and gotten out of there. And what's really cool is we know from the books, just a kind of spoiler, if you're not to this part in the books, but there's a reason they can get into the Two Rivers so quickly. There's a special gate that's open that they can get
mm-hmm.
through. Crazy mm-hmm. hidden things, you know?
Yes.
Wild. So that's kind of cool. And it's just like, how did they get here so fast? And book readers are going, oh my God. They know, and the show watchers might just think, okay, that was the second wave of army coming or whatever. But then you start to flash out. And by the way, there's a great map too, that interactive map shows you the Westlands, and just shows you where everything's at and how difficult it would be to get from the Blight all the way through all those kingdoms. How do you get through all those kingdoms and then show up in the Two Rivers? So that's something for folks to look into too.
Yeah. So here's a question. So we know that Rosamund Pike had talked about, and this was after, I'm trying to remember, maybe it's the director, it's the whoever, about episode 6 and 7, we know we're supposed to get some mega battles. And remember there was like comments said about like best budget I've ever been on. And remember, Rosamund Pike has been in some big movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was in the second one, Wrath of the Titans. That's the second one, right?
Okay.
Which had Liam Neeson and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then she was a Bond villain. She wasn't necessarily a Bond girl. She was a Bond villain. But I mean, like, I know the budget's now or whatever. I mean, so to say that thing is like a grand scale thing, and we just saw a wreck a bunch of Trollocs, I'm ready for some sort of like open field mega battle, power flying everywhere. I'm down.
Well, yeah, exactly. Get a few more of them together and have some of those sisters together, and we'll see it. Well, here's the thing: we saw Tarwyn's Gap. I mean, they showed us that in the trailer, so we're going there. Like, we're gonna see all this stuff happen. They'll be going to defend it. They're asking, will the Golden Crane ride again? Like,
yes,
Lan is there.
Just like the dragon.
Yeah, just like the dragon. And by the way, have you seen the way that Lan looks at Rand?
Yes.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
They've definitely started that. They've also started the Nynaeve-Lan confrontation, and they've mm-hmm. definitely started. I think the way that when Rand tells Moraine off, the way she mm-hmm. kind of looks at him is mm-hmm. great, because they've already started the I will not be controlled.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have. That's the dragon spirit, man. It's the dragon spirit. Or is it? I don't know. But it's cool. I'm glad.
It is definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say that the character who feels the most different from their book counterpart is Matt.
Yeah. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And also his family. That is such a curveball. I tell you what, episode one got me all sorts of tingles, emotions, teary-eyed feels. And I felt like, oh my God, it made me sick to my stomach to see like a mother, a wife that distraught about being humiliated and stuff. And Matt not knowing what to do with it, man. I mean, that's hard stuff right there.
Do we have any idea? I got to look this up. Do we have any idea why Barney Harris left?
No, I don't know. If you guys have heard anything, you know, leave us a comment or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I think a part of me doesn't really want to know. Part of me is just sort of like it could be everything from mental health to just changing actors, you know, and saying, which that last bit is hard for me to believe because he did such a good job.
He's so good. And that's not to say the guy who's playing him, who's in like 10 seconds of The Witcher.
Sure.
And they say like, oh, he's from Witcher fame.
He'll do a great job. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know that. I haven't seen anything. Right. I hope he does. But it's just Barney Harris is so good as Matt. And it's like, I can totally see him as like the Matt that we will know he will become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And he also looked a lot like the fan art too. And he had that kind of long, lanky kind of build and everything.
I think though that the other guy who's playing him, to me, he looks a little bit, I would say that the Matt that we know that becomes like with, you know, he gets the hat and like the coat and like the long, you know, I think that guy looks a little closer to Matt Coffin than Barney Harris.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay. I think they both look like him. I think that's both going to be great.
Yeah. Let's see here. Nothing on Barney as.
That's what I've seen. I feel like if it was like, you know, something troubling, that would come out. Like he'd be fired for specific reasons. Yeah. It could be just living situations. I mean, Rosamund Pike's talked about how she moved her kids to Croatia. Like they moved her family to Croatia to do this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, for sure. So I love it. So far, that's been really cool and interesting. I kind of get why they've done this stuff with Perrin and Matt, because we just pick up from Rand, his perspective in the books, that this is how Matt is. This is how Perrin is. And now we get to kind of see that through their Perrin's wife and then through Matt's parents. So
this is a lot. So I will say I did talk to my mom earlier today who had just watched like the first 5 minutes of it. And it's always funny because I love talking to my mom about stuff because she's just she's a binger. I mean, binger. Like, yeah. I mean, it's like, I'll be like, I saw this cool new show. She's like, oh, I've already seen it. I was like,
yeah.
She's like, yeah, I started on Monday, finished on like Wednesday.
Right. Done.
Sleep? Like, you know what? Like, how's it going? Anyway, so she watched the first like 10 minutes and she was like, hey, who's that tall Asian guy? Just like, okay, here we go. Like, yeah. So funny. Just so funny. So ridiculous.
Yeah, Lan's great. You know, there's something too.
I think he's the best casting.
Yeah, he is really good. I haven't really thought much too because they all kind of just feel.
They all feel great, but yeah. To me, he is the most just, and it's because like the other people they just wear sort of like regular clothes, whereas like he wears something rather specific. I know Moraine does as well. And you know what? Let's go ahead and say it. Mm-hmm. Blousegate, not a big deal.
No, right. No, exactly.
But again, that's the thing. That's what I was critical of, of those early shots we were getting was you gave us a terrible clip out of context. Like Moraine just opening her eyes. I still, now that I've even seen the whole scene, I think it was stupid. I think I still think it was a stupid clip to show.
Yeah.
As a teaser.
And the thing is too, at that point in time, they know they only are dealing with book fanatics in a small fandom. Because then once they started really dropping their promotional stuff, it looked good. So that early stuff was just they weren't ready for any of that stuff. They were just, it's crazy. They were just doing that for simply for book fan service and for some fuel for the content creators. That's all they were doing. Because you look at it, you look at the promotional stuff leading up to it. The last month, a month and a half, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. So
absolutely great.
But so, yeah.
So, all right, as well, I think we're slowing down here a little bit in the chats and everything. Got one. We'll do one last one here. So from Hawkthorne 33, had a thought with Rand being stubborn, considering it was two chapters of building our Aes Sedai, good or bad. I think they're trying to shoehorn in the doubt. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think we'll get more of that in episode four, especially since we're going to be spending some more time with Tom Marilyn. I definitely think that as well.
Yeah, agreed. That's a good point. And it's just it's all the way in which you do it and the way you move stuff around. And it's to me, it's always seemed like an impossible. I can't imagine how many ideas they pitched around on, like between Rafe and the writers, and where do you incorporate that idea with Rand and casting some doubt on Aes Sedai? We can't do it too early, or do we? Or we have to use Tom Marilyn, but we're moving Tom Marilyn over here. It's okay. We'll do it later. Lots of different conversations that would probably have our heads spinning. So I'm happy to sit back and just say, what did they do? And my last big thing, I have three episodes. We have seen three episodes. I'm so glad they gave us three. If they would have just gave us one, I would have been blown away too. But I got to calm down and soak up more of the experience. And then that third, I think more
to suck you into the world.
Yeah, I think more of them should do that. Even like Mandalorian and some of the other shows.
Well, that's not a bad Disney idea. Does. So like Disney does. Disney has typically done with the Mandalorian is you get like an episode. Remember we would get an episode. I think it was like we had an episode on Tuesday and then another one on Friday, which I think is good because it gives you time to sort of get gripped into the world by getting just a little bit more. You don't. It's always a hit or miss. I don't know. Yeah. I think I like Netflix's style, which is just dump the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I kind of like this.
Oh, I love this. Yeah.
It kind of makes it harder to cover because, you know, I'm going to cover Cowboy Bebop and then The Witcher is coming and I'm going to cover it too over on my video game channel. And, you know, it's hard because it's like, what do we do? How do you record it? Do you do one episode? Do you do eight episodes? Do you?
Right. Well, yeah. And really, even outside of being content creators, I think as just a fan, when we were watching Game of Thrones, boy, it was an event. It was a watch. Right. Get everybody over Sunday night, order a pizza, get all this. Then it was Monday morning. Like it really actually what I love about TV shows like this is it affects the work week and it makes the work week better. You know what I mean? Because like, honestly, buddy, this morning I went in, I had some stuff to do. Since it came out last night on Thursday, I decided to actually go in for an hour or two, get some stuff done, hit the gym, do some different things this morning. And I'm in there seeking out like my assistant principal, people at the building who have watched it and who are into the show. And I know that conversation, the ones I didn't get to, guess what? Monday is going to come around. I'm going to follow right back up with them and say, what'd you guys think? That's what I love about this style of drop, you know? So,
yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. All right, guys. Well, with that, hey, remember, we will be back on tomorrow, which will be the 20th, same time, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, sometime Grand Mountain time. And if you are we're going to bring on our patrons. So if you're in our patron tier, be sure to check that out. Come and hang out. Maybe nobody shows up, but Ez and I will still talk regardless. We'll be here. But yeah. We want to get you guys, definitely want to give you guys an opportunity to come on the show and talk. And we want to talk with you directly. So be sure to check that out. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. And remember that the grave is no bar to our call.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.